A man making the ultimate sacrifice so that others may live. This is at the heart of the gospel. In Mark 10, verse 45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life, a ransom for many." It's that gospel message that gives us hope and encouragement for each new day. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. We're glad to have you with us this afternoon as we again consider the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. Join us, won't you, as we again spend some time reflecting on God's Word, the Bible. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Bradenhoff.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. As always, I'm glad that you've joined me once again this afternoon. Well, we're continuing our series on basic Christian doctrines. And yesterday we were talking about the doctrine of the church. We started talking about the fact that the church is Catholic. And as I mentioned yesterday, that word Catholic sometimes turns people off because of its association with the Roman Catholic Church. But there is actually a good biblical use of the word Catholic. It can be used in the sense of describing the church as universal. And when we use that word Catholic, we mean that the church is universal in terms of where it's found. It's found all over the face of the earth, geographically. We also mean that the church is Catholic in the sense of time, in sense of temporality, that the church has been found in all ages from the very beginning, from Adam and Eve in the garden until the end of the until eternity. There will always be a church of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, we also speak of the Catholicity of the church in regards to the fact that in the church of Jesus Christ, you find people from all tribes, tongues, and nations. So all the three of those ideas are taken up into that one word, Catholic. And it's actually a very rich word. Even though it's not found in the Bible, just like the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but we embrace it because it's a good word that captures biblical teaching. So I think also a case can be made for the word Catholic, that it too captures the biblical teaching of the nature of the church. Now, when we talk about the church in the sense of being Catholic, we mean that in a very broad sort of sense. Now, the Bible speaks about the church in that way, but more often, the Bible speaks about the church in terms of particular local churches, in fact. And one of those places is in the first three chapters of Revelation. It's kind of interesting that these first three chapters, we find letters from Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about the letters of Paul, the letters of Peter and John and so on. We have those letters of the apostles in the New Testament. But people very often forget that in the first three chapters of Revelation, we have letters, seven letters from Jesus Christ to particular churches, local churches. And one of the remarkable things in these letters is the fact that Jesus Christ loves these churches. And he expresses his love for these local particular churches. So, for instance, to the church in Philadelphia, in verse 9 of chapter 3, he says, "I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. I have loved you." He says to the church at Philadelphia, he loves that local church there. And then to the church at Laodicea, in a few verses down, he says in verse 19, and here he's quoting from Proverbs, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." And he's giving rebuke and discipline, not only to the church at Laodicea, but also to a number of these other churches as well. He's rebuking them. He's disciplining them. And why does he do that? Because he loves them. Every single one of those local particular churches, he loves them. So a case can be made that the church is important. Jesus Christ loves the church, not just in the big broad picture sense, but he loves particular local churches. And so no one can come along and be indifferent to the church. No Christian who is united to Jesus Christ can say, "Well, you know what? Jesus Christ might love the church, but I can do without it. I don't need it." Listen, friends, that just doesn't fly. It doesn't work. Because the Bible teaches that Christians are united to Jesus Christ. They are grafted into him. The things that he loves, they will love, or they ought to love. The things that he hates, they will hate, or ought to hate. And so if Jesus Christ loves the church, Christians should love the church. If Jesus Christ loves particular local congregations, Christians should love particular local congregations, and they should join themselves to those churches. You know, a bunch of years ago, Josh Harris wrote a book called Stop Dating the Church. Stop Dating the Church. And I think in that title, he put his finger on a trend that we see happening a lot in North America. People are dating the church. They don't want to be committed to a local church. They don't want to fall in love with a local church and be committed to her, become a member of a church, or anything of that nature. And that's troublesome, because that flies in the face of what the Bible teaches. You know, related to that, a couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Mexico, and I was teaching at a seminary there with some pastors, and I began talking with these Mexican pastors, and they wanted my advice on a difficult situation that all these pastors were facing. And it involved people who were cohabiting before marriage, and these people would claim to be Christians. And the pastors would say, hey, listen, you know, you claim to be a Christian, but the Bible teaches the importance of marriage. You can't cohabit. You can't be having sexual intimacy outside of marriage. You have to get married. And when they would tell these people, these couples that, who would come to their churches, then inevitably what would happen would be the couple would say, adios, I'm out of here. And they would go on to the next church, and the whole process would start over again. And so these couples would be circulating through all the churches of this particular city, going from one to the next. And these pastors asked me, well, what can we do about this? What advice would you give us? And so I asked them, I said, well, what about church membership? Do you practice church membership? Do people make a public profession of faith? Do they make some kind of commitment to be a member of your congregation? And in every case, the answer was no. We don't practice church membership. And I said, well, that's where the root of your problem is. You're not practicing biblical church membership. You're not encouraging people to be committed to your church. And so how are you going to be able to say anything? How are you going to be able to bring, for instance, biblical church discipline to bear on someone who is living an ungodly, disobedient life to the Lord, even though they claim to be a Christian? You can't do that if people are not members of a church. And so I encouraged them to study the scriptures to see what the Bible has to say about church membership, and to encourage the people who were under their teaching to come along with what the Bible says about this subject. Well, let me bring to your attention what the Bible does indeed say about that subject and what it implies for the importance of belonging to a church. The important passage here, the key passage, is in Matthew 18. Jesus says there, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. It says, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. In other words, that passage is referring to excommunication. And we know that also from elsewhere in the New Testament. Paul speaks about to the Corinthian church about the importance of dealing with the man who is living in sin. He's sleeping with his father's wife. And Paul says you have to do so. You have to put the wicked man out from among you. You have to deal with that. You have to excommunicate him. He can no longer be a member of your church. But implied in that is the fact that somebody is a member of your church, that you have church membership, that you have that concept where somebody is part of a church body, where they've made a certain commitment to believe what that church believes, to abide by to submit themselves to the leadership of that church. And we'll talk a little bit more about what biblical church leadership looks like in a day or two. So Matthew 18 and related passages show us very clearly that church membership matters. You have to be a member of a church. And that's also the teaching that we find in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give it up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us not give up meeting together. In other words, don't turn your back on the church. Instead, turn towards the church and embrace her. In fact, elsewhere in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews refers to the church as being our mother. It was famously said among the early church fathers, and it was also said among important figures in the Protestant Reformation, that you cannot have God as your father unless you have the church as your mother. And that's a biblical teaching. You have to love the church, and you have to be a member of the church. In fact, in the days of the early church, there was another saying as well, a saying that really rankles a lot of people's chains, and that's that there is no salvation outside of the church. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has taken over that saying to say that, you know, there's no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church or outside of the Roman Catholic faith. But there is there's a good biblical meaning to that expression as well. And it's the original meaning that came with that expression, which is that salvation is normally found within the walls of the church, because within the walls of the church is where you find the administration of the gospel. So everybody ought to join a church. They ought to be a member of a good, solid, biblical church. And that brings us to the next question, and that's, how do you know what a good church is? How do you know if you're in a good church? How can you tell a good church from a bad church? Well, I believe, and I think the Bible teaches, that there are three important marks that we ought to be looking for. And they are the preaching of the gospel, pure preaching of the gospel, a pure administration of the sacraments of God, and also the exercise of Christian discipline according to the Word of God. If you have those three things in place, you have a true church of Jesus Christ. If those three things are not practiced, it's something less than a true church, probably a false church. I'm going to have a lot more to say about that tomorrow. We've run out of time for today, but I hope you'll join me again tomorrow afternoon. Till then, may God bless you richly in every way.
You've been listening to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. Our prayer is that this broadcast has been a benefit to you, shining gospel light on your daily path. This broadcast comes to you courtesy of the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church. The Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church warmly welcomes visitors each Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. We're located at the corner of King and Mackenzie in Abbotsford. You can find more information about the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.abbotsfordchurch.com. Again, that website, www.abbotsfordchurch.com. You can also write for more information or to let us know if this program has encouraged you in some way. Email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. You can also call us toll-free, 1-866-288-1087. Once again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Thanks for listening today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff.